How many people, oh, happy Mother's Day, by the way. Everybody who's a mother, stand up if you can. Give them a round of applause. Okay, you can sit down. That's awesome. And what a hard job. And, I was thinking about the mothers, like the motivation of love is really big. Like people who have had mothers that have loved them, they do things for them. They come visit them at their church and come to church with them. They take them out to eat. They do things for them. Like people, you could have the most dysfunctional mother in the earth. Like some drug hoodlum, his mother was a prostitute, crack addict. And you say something about his mama, he's going to get upset because his mama loved him, And love motivates people. And God's love motivates me and you. When you actually get a spiritual sense and a revelation of how much God loves you, it motivates you. And so happy Mother's Day. Anybody remember Mark's message last week? Yeah? Mark, no? Okay, Mark, give us a... No, just kidding. So, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That was the gist of it. That was really good. And how about the week before? Anybody remember that? Don't identify with your sin. Don't identify as guilt and condemnation, right? Identify with Christ. He paid it all. And the old man's crucified. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And so this week, let's see if I can work this thing. I don't need to look there. I'm going to look up here. How do I work this thing? Is it on? Should be up. Boop. Do I click backwards? Uh-oh. The right button. That's what I'm doing. Doop. But I didn't click it. I want to click it. Isn't that what God does a lot of times? We're trying to click something, and then God's just like, that was me. Okay. I know. I'm just teasing. I was just being a textualist. That's what my wife calls me. So this is a pick of a trophy. Yesterday, Becca graduated. You ever go to like an award ceremony and you see all these people, like there were these doctorate degrees that got an award for the best person ever in the whole world, and you're like, I could have got that. Or she did, she should have got that. One time we were at a swim meet, and they gave like the most improved, and I just knew it was going to be my daughter. I don't even remember which one, but I remember this concept. Like she went from not being able to swim to winning. I was like, she is the most improved. She's going to get that award. And somebody else got it. I was like, politics and 10-year-old swimming? What's going on here? She should have got that award. And I know I'm biased, but in heaven, there's no politics. There's no bias. There's perfect judging. And God gives rewards. So like we always think, and I always focus on this, and you should, the love of God is our motivation, right? But there's another motivation, and that's the reward that God who loves us gives us. And so next slide. This is Hebrews 11:24-26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. And I don't know if everybody here knows the story, so I'll tell it real quick. Moses was born to a Jewish family. And during this time, the Pharaoh said, All the Jews were slaves in Egypt. And the Pharaoh said, there's too many Jews. So he started killing the baby boys. He had the midwives kill the baby boys when they were coming out of the womb. And Moses' parents saved him. They put him in a basket where Pharaoh's daughter would find him. And Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised Moses. And then God had a call on Moses' life. And Moses was Jewish. And the Jewish, and while he was being raised, his real mother actually nursed him, because his little sister went to Pharaoh's daughter and said, I know somebody who can nurse him. And his real mother actually took care of him. So she probably taught him a few things too. And so at some point, he decided to identify with the promise. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel and had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel, who had all the Israelites. He identified with the promise that came through all of them. Abraham, all the nations will be blessed through the seed of Abraham, which was ended up being Jesus. And so he identified with that. So it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he looked for the reward. So what he ended up doing was, he identified with the Jews. He ended up killing an Egyptian. He had to run. He was a shepherd in the desert for like 40 years. And then God called him. You know, have you ever heard, let my people go? God called him to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he stuttered, or he had some impediment. Maybe he talked like Elmer Fudd or something, but he couldn't speak right. But he did it. And he went back, and then the whole 10 plagues, and they finally left at Passover with the blood of the lamb put on the door and the lintel of their house. And they got through the Red Sea, and then they wandered in the desert for 40 years before they entered Canaan. But Moses never got to Canaan. So anyway, that's the backstory. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So he refused because he chose, which he used his mind to do. And he chose because he esteemed, which he used his heart to do. And he esteemed because he looked. Look, gold, silver, precious stones, faith, purity, souls. The reward and the choosing was motivated by his faith. The reproach of Christ has greater riches. Did you get the batteries in that thing? Oh, I'll just change it. Yeah, there you go. Refused. Yeah, refused. That one there. Yeah. So he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And you could say he refused to be identified with the world, because Egypt kind of represented the world. And so we need to learn to refuse sometimes. And I mean, he had all this before him, the riches of Pharaoh, all of this, and he refused that. But we need to learn how to say no. Anybody know how to say no? Say no. No. What other ways can we say no? No, thank you. No, thank you. Not at this time. Never. Get out of here. Get out of my face. No. Niet. Nein. No.
Yes to something else.
Yes to something else. And by doing that, you're saying no to this. Where's Grace? How do you say no in Chinese, Grace? How do you say no?
Booyah.
Booyah. We learn to say booyah. And so we learn this. Nah, nope, no way, get out of here. Are you crazy? You know, bug off. You know, we could learn all kinds of ways to say no, right? But we say no, and what do we say no to? Next slide, the whole thing shut down. Okay, we say no to the world. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to the world. Say no to it. but be transformed by, and we say no by saying yes to something else, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say no to the flesh. And there's probably lots of verses on all of these. Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You say no. And say no to the devil. But first submit to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. That was kind of last week. Satan wants your identity to be your sin. And you say no. Because God says it's Christ. Right? So I refuse you. I refuse that concept or that thought, and I'm going with God's thought. Choosing. Choosing rather to... Nope. Where are you going? Don't get ahead. No, just kidding. Choosing. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. But before we get to choice, let's get a little bit. I want to talk about esteeming, which helped to motivate that choice. So now you can see. Now, esteeming. Esteeming. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's like everything known to that world, basically. Like you could be the riches of Elon Musk or Bill Gates or whoever it is. Like esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than that. Or something you actually tangibly have. Think of all your riches. Esteeming my own riches, you know, the reproaches of Christ greater than my own riches is what he did. And so I looked up esteeming. It didn't have the definition I thought, but here's some of the words that are used to describe it. Accounted, valued, like esteem, I think, to place high value on, you know, but this is like accounted, valued, thought, judged, deemed, reckoned, like esteemed. They esteemed. And it's actually connected to the heart. He placed a higher value on the reproach of Christ. Next. Connected to the heart, and this is why I say it's connected to the heart. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And isn't that a neat concept? You can lay up, you can save treasures in heaven, and nothing can destroy them. The stock market can't crash, inflation won't get them. You know, you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and they're eternal. They last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's like eternal treasures. Like, I would almost think a penny up there might be worth money. You know, like, it's like so valuable to have the eternal aspect of it. But then he's saying, like, this is greater. And, oh, yeah, I guess my point is here that it's connected to your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And you could flip it around and say, where your heart is, there your treasures are also, right? So Moses, his heart was in this choice. Because he valued, he esteemed the afflictions of Christ more valuable. Like, do we esteem the afflictions of Christ? I mean, I know we esteem Christ and the fact that he took our afflictions, but do we esteem the afflictions of Christ? And in that context, he's going out to be afflicted and giving up all his riches. That's identifying with Christ, right? Choosing. Okay, next. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And we have a free will, and God sets it before us. And like, don't take this part of the message the wrong way. It's not like God is not legalistic and a pressure. And like somebody said, a dad in his old age kind of laid off of making him memorize verses as he got older. You know, like he made him choose, you know, like God's gentle. David said, your gentleness has made me great. Like, wow. Like, he doesn't force us to make the choice, but there's a choice and there's a reward and we should esteem that. So Romans 5:8, next slide. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on things on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So they set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you'll see, I'm going to tie this into another verse that talks about life and death and choosing. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the converse would be true. Those who are in the Spirit do please God, right? And what does this mean for you? What does it mean for me? I prayed a long time ago, and I still do, with a reverence that God would give me a bigger piece of the spiritual pie. Like, do you want more? Like Moses went for more. He wanted more. He's like, these riches are a lot. I'm going for more. And so next place, next slide. Oh, next slide. There we go. I could not find a peanut butter pie made with maple syrup, so I found another one that looked pretty good. but you know, this is a physical analogy for something spiritual. Don't take it too far. So I don't want to be a glutton, but I want to be a glutton for spiritual things, right? I don't want to be greedy, but and storing up stuff, but I want spiritual greed. And that means to choose. There's a choice in that. And it's not a formula. And I'm going to repeat this. It's not a formula. It's not a formula. My choices aren't your choices. Your choices aren't my choices. His choices aren't her choices. So, like, don't judge everybody and make it, like, legalistic or anything. It's not a formula. But, like, for instance, a long time ago, I tried to read the Bible through in a year, and I didn't want to get anything out of it, so I just stopped. And this year, I read the Bible through in a year, and I'm getting a lot out of it. It's what God had for me this year. And Legia does it every year, and she gets a lot out of it. But so this is a choice. And like, maybe you choose to take one verse and meditate on it every day for a year or a week. But make a choice for God. You know what I'm saying? Like, make a choice for God. Make a choice. And it's not a formula. Not a formula. But take opportunities. More of them. There's more treasure. Spiritual opportunities. Be led by God. You know, doing more stuff doesn't make you more spiritual. Just because if you do something like having babies with Hagar, it's actually less spiritual. You know, doing more stuff. More stuff. But doing more spiritual stuff that God actually wants you to do does make you more spiritual. And so don't say no to opportunities automatically in your mind. Like, pray about them and be open to be led by God for an opportunity, right? And don't say there are no opportunities. There's no opportunities. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. You know, there's lots of opportunities, right? There's opportunities. And we have outreach at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Convention, I know you guys are planners. A lot of people here like to plan things. We like plan things in our head, and then we just pull the trigger last minute usually. But we're going to convention. We haven't reserved a hotel room, but we're going. We'll probably do it the night before. But June 21st to 25th, pray about it. Come to All or Part. It's awesome. Pastor Schaller said this a long time ago, and I was like, that is radical. Like, why didn't I think of that? He said, you know, take a summer vacation, but don't settle. Give your summer to God. Whoa, that's, everybody takes a break from God on summer, don't they? No. You get busy with all the stuff. You think you're going to have lots of time, but you don't, right? You don't have lots of time in the summer. Don't fool yourself. Everybody's like, oh, we'll have time to do that in the summer. In the summer, it's loaded with stuff to do, especially if you have kids. But be available and be open. Like, one of giving, like, okay, choose something to give. There's an opportunity you can give. And you don't just have to give there. You can give there and there and out there. But you can give. And choose to give time. That's huge for people. And they now call this real estate market the Northern Virginia metropolitan area. Time is huge here. Huge. Right? Give time. That's a huge thing to give. And give it to God. And be greedy, because there's lots of reward. There's lots of rewards out there, spiritual opportunities. And once again, it's not a formula. Don't think, I'm going to give money, I'm going to give time, I'm going to do this, and then I get a reward. No, be led by God and do it before the Lord. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, not a giver who thinks he's under condemnation and has to do it in order to get something. He loves a cheerful giver. Not a formula, but like have a desire. Like, I want to pray more, and I want to pray with more passion. And I don't do it, so my weak little prayer might be to God, Lord, help me to pray more and pray with more passion. You know? Like, how about I want to worship with more passion, and I want to worship more. I want to sense the presence of God. Moses said, if you don't go before me, I don't want to go. Like, I walk by faith, not by emotions. I've had many valleys where I haven't sensed anything, and I continue to walk with God. But I love it when I sense the presence of God. Who loves it when they sense? If you don't, something's wrong with you. And I want to sense the presence of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so, like, have a heart attitude. Esteem it as better. This is better. It's better. Maybe you want to pray for me. I'm the same as you. I've fallen into sin. I'm troubled. But that doesn't define me. Pray that that doesn't define me. Right? Pray for me too. That Christ will define me. It's not a formula. Be open to bigger things. Be open to be led anywhere at any time. To drop your other commitments and other things and go with God wherever he wants you to go. Even though if it hurts, like Moses, like giving up the riches, I mean, that hurt. You can't compare anything like that. I wanted to go to that baseball game. Now I'm going to go over here and do that. Well, that hurt because you didn't get to go to the baseball game. But that doesn't compare to Moses. So be led, open to be led anywhere at any time, but not any way. The only way you're led is by trusting in the Lord. And go where God wants you. And maybe your bigger things is to turn off the TV more. Mine too. Maybe your bigger things is to not eat two bowls of ice cream back to back. Mine too. You know, maybe your bigger things is to walk on water when God calls you to, right? And you say, mine too. That's mine too. I want to do it all. And but have a vision. Have a vision so big that you're almost scared to tell anybody about it. And dream. Dream spiritual things. Choose. Choose to come to church when the door's open. Choose to leave the 99 and go after the one. I've got something spiritual going on here, but that person needs me. And be open to what God wants you to do. Does he want you to go over here? Or does he want you to go to the one person that needs you? Be open. It's not a formula. Be open. But be open and make the choices. Make the spiritual choices. Make the choices for God. And so there's life. And when you do that, there's life. We get this supernatural life. And it's a life that when you taste it, you taste and see the Lord is good. There's another spiritual analogy you could use for the pie. Not just a bigger piece of the spiritual pie, but that it tastes good. And next slide. Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. There's another verse. I keep running across these, you know, about the deity of Christ. They're like hidden everywhere. He is your life. Christ is our life. He's God. Yeah. Choosing God in every situation is way more valuable than anything. Choose life. So Hebrews 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And Jesus, he chose the cross. What's that verse? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't bear more fruit. It can't live, right? Unless it falls to the ground and dies. And we can choose that to identify with Christ. Next slide. Go back up to 2 Corinthians 4:17. Yeah. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Isn't that a good one with choosing? And it ties in with the afflictions, you know, that Moses went through. And we have afflictions that we go through. And, okay, next slide. Oh, I would say on that, no to the world, no to the flesh, no to the devil, but yes to the Holy Spirit, yes to the cross, yes to the Word, and yes, Lord, we agree. We agree with God. So 13, he looked for the reward, a spiritual reward. And it actually says he looked to the reward, not for the reward. It's an interesting little difference there. You look, the reward's already there. You're looking to the reward. It's Christ. Look to the reward. And how did he do it? It was by faith. That's how this section starts. By faith, Moses. That's how he looked to the reward. By faith. And no doubt it was a spiritual reward. Anybody that wants to twist and make a prosperity gospel should read the story of Moses. Right? He had these great riches, but it wasn't the great riches they're talking about. And God can bless people with great riches, and he does a lot. And he can also bless people with great riches in heaven, and he does a lot. Hebrews 10:35-38, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Okay, next slide. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So this is prior to chapter 11 in Hebrews, right? Chapter 11 in Hebrews is the chapter on faith. It's got all these heroes of faith, and the whole chapter is about faith. And so now this is the chapter before it that leads up to that, and they're saying, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And the backstory to this is that the Jews were being persecuted in Jerusalem, and they were stopping going to church. And they were starting to they were basically going back to the synagogue and sacrificing animals again. The Christians were doing this. And they had stopped. And they had kind of cast away their confidence because they were scared. They were being persecuted. And so, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And this is the rest of the verse. For you have need of endurance. Who needs endurance? I need some endurance, right? We need endurance. So after that, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. And in this context, it's by faith is the emphasis. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Well, remember we were talking about pleasure? Like, set your mind on spiritual things, and the fleshly things don't please God. The spiritual man pleases God, and walking by faith pleases God. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in. Do you feel like quitting? Me too sometimes, right? We all feel like quitting sometimes. But look to the great reward, and then you won't feel like quitting. Receive, just let God love you. That's a great Mother's Day motivator, right? Let God love you, and you won't feel like quitting. Like, you'll do anything for that love. And look to the reward. Hebrews 11:6, which follows that, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So how do we please him? By faith, right? We please him by faith. That the converse is true. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But the whole context is with faith, it is. That's how we please him. So how do we look? By faith, from and through the promise. And Lot's wife had a promise, but she looked back, right? That wasn't good for her. Abraham, on the other hand, he looked by faith. He was told to sacrifice Isaac. This is Hebrews 11, 17, and 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And it says, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So this was his mindset. He was trusting God so much, he was going to sacrifice his only son, thinking, well, if God asked me to do that, he's the one who gave him to me. He performed the miracle to give me this son, and he's going to raise him from the dead. He was trusting God so much and not leaning on his own understanding, right? In all his ways, he was acknowledging God. And then what did he do? And when he's doing that by faith, he looks up, and what does he see? Genesis 22:13, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket. And that ram is Jesus Christ, you know, the substitute sacrifice for us. And many times that happens when we're just trusting God and we don't understand, and then we look and we see Christ. He's our provision, and it's awesome. And so Moses was looking for the reward. His ID was Jewish. He had the promise. It came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so let's look at, next slide, Lot versus Abraham. In Genesis 13, 10 to 15, Lot lifted his eyes and saw. He saw. How did he see? Not by faith. All the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, looked good. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Probably wasn't well watered after that. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself. So we have choices, but make God's choice. Don't choose for yourself. Because he chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, which was the promised land, and Lot dwelt in the cities in the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And we know how that turned out for Lot. Fire and brimstone rained down on there, and he had to get out of there. There was really nothing there for him. But then 14 is an awesome verse. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, so here's another thing. Don't follow the wrong crowd. Stick with God, and after they separate from you, then God will speak to you. God said, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Look from the place where you are. Every direction for all the land I see, I give you. And so this is kind of a key to choosing God too. Because when we choose God, he gives us. We're actually choosing the gift. Right? It's not like we're actually doing anything. We think we're doing something sometimes, but we're not really. We're just choosing what he's giving us. So for all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants forever. Forever. And so look from the place where you are. You're in Christ. You have a position. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. If you're a believer and you've accepted Christ in your heart, you're in Christ. You have all these rewards, all these gifts just waiting for you. Just look from the place where you are. Look from where you are. And so Moses lived in the promise. Abraham, same promise. And the same promise we live in. And they chose, in a way, they chose to let God choose. And so I would say, you know, the greatest mother in the world points her child to Jesus. And I didn't have time to look for a picture, but I have a picture of Legia on her knees by the bed with three little kids, and they prayed every night. when they were kids. They prayed every night. I was like, man, it's an awesome mom. Awesome mom. My mom was a little dysfunctional, but she knew to bring me to church. She knew to point. Jesus, Jesus, don't look at me. Look at Jesus. You know, that's all you got to do. Point to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. And that's the best thing. And tell them to choose life. And then finally, the next slide. Yeah, we'll just leave us with that. Everybody can stand. And we'll pray. Lord, we choose you today. We choose you. And we choose your gifts. We choose your grace. We really have nothing to offer. We just trust you, Lord. We trust you. And we pray that you'll give us a bigger piece of the spiritual pie, individually and as this church, that you would move in this church, Lord. And we pray, if there's anybody here today who's never accepted Christ as their Savior, you have a choice to make today. Do you want the gift of salvation? He has a gift for you. Do you want that? He died on the cross to pay for your sins. Just tell him, yes, I choose that. I choose you, God. I want that, God. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.